So we will start with Mara Goshan on when is axillary lymph node dissection obsolete. Mara is at the Brigham and Women's Hospital at Harvard Medical School.
I'd like to thank the organizing committee for the invitation to speak, and we'll be discussing when is the axillary lymph node dissection obsolete. I have no disclosures. So one group that we'll discuss is those that undergo surgery up front, and I think some of the trials that you may be aware of, and the ACOSOG, IBCSG, and AMAROS, and are there any questions that are left unanswered by those trials? And then the second group are those patients that undergo neoadjuvant systemic therapy and are converted from node-positive disease to node-negative, and what do we do with the axilla? So traditionally, the surgery of the axilla has been axillary lymph node dissection with the advent of the sentinel lymph node biopsy for those that are clinically node negative. Sticking with the sentinel lymph node by itself has been the standard in the United States and around the world for well over a decade. But the lymph node evaluation does give us prognostic information, staging, treatment options, and we certainly know that prognosis worsens as the lymph node burden in the axilla increases. And is there a local control benefit to the axillary lymph node dissection if you're clinically or pathologic node positive? Where are we now in the management of the axilla? So first of all, I think one of the most important things is that a lot of these decision-making should be done in a multidisciplinary fashion. What additional information would one receive with obtaining additional axillary lymph node information from an axillary lymph node dissection? And if not, do you go on to a completion axillary lymph node dissection? When do you use radiation? And are there patients that you actually can observe the axilla? And whether the amount of disease in the axilla makes a difference in terms of doing an axillary lymph node dissection after a sentinel lymph node biopsy or in the neoadjuvant setting? So depending on the in-breast tumor burden and degree of involvement of the sentinel lymph nodes, the sentinel lymph node may be the only positive lymph node, and we'll see across the trials what percentage that is. There have been multiple models that have been developed by different hospitals and that have shown the number of additional lymph nodes that end up being positive and in the non-sentinel lymph node setting. And we're going to go over some of the retrospective and prospective data on axillary recurrence when you don't do an axillary lymph node dissection. And then the amount of radiation, where does the radiation go in the axilla if you're not going to do axillary lymph node dissection? So we know from four randomized trials that one, identifying the sentinel lymph node is very accurate, the false negative rate usually under 10%, and that the sentinel lymph node is the only disease in anywhere between 60 to 70% of the time. And even though across these trials that the risk of axillary lymph node recurrence is very low, it's under 1%, and the median follow-up for these studies are now over a decade, whether they were done in the retrospective fashion or our European counterparts in Milan or the NSABPB32 trial. Looking at micromet versus macrometastatic disease and no axillary lymph node dissection, both retrospective data and prospective data shows that the axillary lymph node recurrence rate in the axilla is well under 1%. And again, the follow-up for these trials has become much more robust over the last decade. Most of these patients underwent breast conservation, and I think we still have controversy with those that undergo mastectomy. So Viviana Gelamberti at the IOE, or the Institute of European Oncology, ran the trial for IBCSG 2301, looking at sentinel lymph node and micrometastatic disease without axillary lymph node dissection. They randomized patients to axillary lymph node dissection versus none. The vast majority of the patients only had one sentinel lymph node positive. Originally, the trial was designed with only patients undergoing breast conservation, but they ended up allowing mastectomy to help with accrual. And the additional positive lymph node rate on those undergoing completion axillary lymph node dissection was low, but would be expected with those with micrometastatic disease at 13%. And their most recent follow-up published recently in the follow-up from their original Lancet Oncology article to Lancet Oncology of 10 years, looking at before they found 6,700 patients, they randomized them down each arm, and you can see that those that were actually treated were matched very evenly across both. The 10-year follow-up, local recurrence, very low, made no difference. Regional recurrence, no difference. Distance, none, and no difference in death. And this is a little bit difficult to see, but the overall survival, disease-free survival, was no different across the arms of those undergoing axillary lymph node dissection versus those who didn't. So if micrometastatic disease looks like it's okay to potentially obviate the need for axillary lymph node dissection, how about macrometastatic disease? Similarly, retrospective data and prospective data suggest that the axillary recurrence rate is low. Most of the studies, again, underwent breast conservation. Some only had breast-conserving therapy patients. But what does the randomized trial show? So ACOSOG Z11 looked at those with early-stage breast cancer with one or two H&E positive lymph nodes. All patients underwent breast conservation with planned whole breast irradiation. There were some challenges with the radiation in terms of how it was given, but those challenges were equally distributed between those that had an axillary lymph node dissection versus not. Looking at the 891, and again, this originally had a trial that wanted to have over 1,800 patients randomized. Again, similarly, about 430 in each arm. Age, what we would consider for breast cancer is slightly on the younger side, but most had early stage disease, estrogen positive, as we would expect, and similar, although slight differences in percentages in terms of those that were LVI positive. Those that ended up having macrometastatic disease was 58% that had one in the axillary lymph node dissection arm. You can see what that number was in those with the central lymph node biopsy. They all had very good axillary clearance, those that underwent axillary lymph node dissection with a median of 17 lymph nodes removed. As would we expect for those that have node-positive disease, most had some form of adjuvant therapy, either a combination of chemo or endocrine therapy alone. And then in their most recent update, looking at disease-free survival, no difference between those that underwent just central lymph node biopsy alone versus axillary lymph node dissection. And if you looked at their primary endpoint in terms of overall survival, disease-free survival, and local regional recurrence, really no difference. A little bit of caution, and I know lots of the investigators have tried to explain a lot of this, but again, this trial was supposed to have 1,900 patients, 813 received their assigned treatment arm. In the axillary lymph node dissection arm, only 27% had additional nodal disease, maybe a little bit lower than the average risk, what we expect for this population. In those that underwent central lymph node biopsy, again, none of these were really statistically significant, but if you add them up, there were smaller tumors, smaller percentage of patients with a high-grade disease and fewer that had LVI, and again, in the central lymph node biopsy arm, there were those that had more patients with micrometastatic disease than in the axillary lymph node dissection arm. So again, there were some imbalances, but taking this trial out over 10 years, there has been no difference between the two. Then the other trial is Emil Rutgers ran Amoros, and this is a little bit different. Again, we're still looking at macrometastatic disease for those with early stage breast cancer. Again, originally was those with breast conservation, but about 18 to 20% ended up adding mastectomy patients and exclusion criteria as what we would expect. Multicentric disease, those underwent neoadjuvant therapy or had previous axillary lymph node dissection. Again, early stage disease randomizing to axillary lymph node dissection versus axillary radiation. Their primary endpoint was five-year axillary recurrence-free rate and then a non-inferiority hypothesis. 4,806 patients were enrolled, so they actually met their accrual goals. And again, looking at those that underwent axillary radiation therapy versus axillary lymph node dissection, the standard was a level 1 and 2, although you could, some surgeons could opt for a level 3 dissection. And then this was formal radiation to the axilla as opposed to the ACOSOG trial, which again was whole breast irradiation, although we know that high tangents and that some patients did actually receive radiation to the axilla. Looking at axillary lymph node dissection and axillary, those that underwent axillary radiation therapy and intention to treat and the overall population size, similar to ACOSOG, similar age, most were postmenopausal. Average tumor size, median tumor size was similar between the two. Breast conservation, again, the vast majority of patients, but what was nice both for the IBCSG or 2301 trial and for this trial with the mastectomy patients, that we actually have some mastectomy patients to look at. Again, most patients got adjuvant therapy, and then those that underwent either whole breast or post-mastectomy radiation was similar. number of lymph nodes, again, similar across the trials, and those a little bit better match in terms of those that had micrometastatic disease. Axillary clearance was very similar, 15 versus 17 versus the ACOSOG trial. And then looking at axillary recurrence, just like the retrospective data and the prospective data, really no difference, very low rates between those two arms and meeting their hypothesis that they had. And again, importantly, in terms of overall disease-free survival, there was no difference. But very importantly, I think for this, in terms of quality of life, is about a halving of the lymphedema rates across the trial. And this persisted beyond 1 year to 5 years. So what they concluded, Emil Rutgers and their team, was that both axillary lymph node dissection and radiation therapy provided excellent and comparable rates of local regional control for those that were node positive with sentinel lymph node, less lymphedema, and they were wanting to consider whether axillary radiation could be considered a standard. So for those that go upfront surgery, not in the neoadjuvant setting, those that are clinically node negative undergoing breast conservation or total mastectomy with a negative sentinel lymph node, I think no further axillary surgery is completely fine and should be the way we go. Those that are clinically node negative undergoing breast conservation or mastectomy with micrometastatic disease, no further surgery. There is some debate on whether those for what type of radiation for those undergoing mastectomy. Clinically node negative, and you have one or two macro or micrometastatic disease, I think whole breast irradiation. And then the question is how much of the axilla to capture. And then again, we had some data that came from this for those undergoing total mastectomy with one or two macrometastatic disease, and you're planning post-mastectomy radiation, possibly obviating the need for axillary lymph node dissection and undergoing axillary radiation. Our group has come up with some standards in terms of managing these patients with radiation therapy and no axillary lymph node dissection. Hopefully in the discussion with that question, the first question we'll be able to go over this. The second half, we're going to go in terms of those that undergo neoadjuvant therapy. So what we know is, one, that the false negative rate, again, is under 10%, that there are a significant number of patients that could have axillary disease that's left behind, yet our regional recurrence rates in almost everything I've shown has been under 1%. And no, again, differences in overall survival. We know that neoadjuvant therapy is going to be able to downstage the axilla in the older trials. And now in the modern era with anti-HER2 therapy and some of the triple negative disease, well over 50% of patients will have a complete response in the axilla. Looking at identification of the sentinel lymph node after neoadjuvant therapy, these numbers are in retrospective data is very similar to those that undergo sentinel lymph node biopsy up front, identification rate. About 90%, and again, the false negative rate, about 10%, which is what those that undergo upfront surgery. What was a little bit worse is the identification in the retrospective data of identification of the sentinel lymph node if you were known to be node positive upfront, but also knowing that with systemic therapy across these trials that about a third had a complete response in the axilla. So Judy Bowie and the other investigators for ACOSOG Z1071 wanted to look at those that were node positive, biopsy proven positive, undergoing sentinel lymph node with planned completion axillary lymph node dissection. And their primary endpoint for this trial was to have a false negative rate under 10%. You know, their publication showed that actually they did not meet their primary endpoint at 12.6%. But when you start looking at this a little bit more carefully, if you looked at the number of lymph nodes removed, so the number of sentinel lymph nodes removed at the time for those undergoing neoadjuvant therapy, if you were able to remove three or greater lymph nodes at that rate was under 10%. So in that, and that was about half of the patients in the study, so that would actually have met their primary endpoint. If you take ACOSOG Z1071 along with the two other, or actually there were three other trials that were done at the same time, again, removing of at least three lymph nodes, it was able to show that you were able to drop that false negative rate to under 10%. Most of the trials either required or recommended dual tracer usage. Some had lymph nodes that were biopsied up front as well. And again, with this modern systemic therapy, often for those that are undergoing to go neoadjuvant therapy, there are going to be those that are HER2 positive or triple negative disease. About half of these patients are going to have a path CR both in the breast and the axilla. And looking at this, again, the number of lymph nodes removed greater than 3. And what our suggestion from our group and many others is that our group, we in the neoadjuvant setting, we always are going to use dual agent mapping, remove at least 3 lymph nodes, include IHC detected nodes as positive. We are looking more and more at clipping the central the lymph node up front and localizing at the time of central lymph node biopsy, but it's not being done in all of our in our group in all of our patients. So again, dual tracing, removing at least 3 lymph nodes, intraoperative frozen section for all sentinel lymph nodes, and this will, I guess, get to the second question that was going to be discussed in terms of completion axillary lymph node dissection if you end up failing mapping, if you didn't get 3 lymph nodes, and in our group, at least any positive lymph node, including micrometastatic disease or ITC cells, even unless they're on trial, which gets me to the final point, is that how are we going to answer the patient, which patients can we potentially obviate either axillary lymph node dissection or the amount of radiation for those that are clinically node and pathologic node positive converted to node negative. We have 2 fantastic trials, one through Alliance, the other through now called NRG. The Alliance trial, again, those that are central lymph node biopsy positive going under axillary lymph node dissection and appropriate radiation to either no further axillary surgery with, again, appropriate radiation. And then NRG, those that end up being converted to node negative to no regional XRT versus regional nodal radiation. And hopefully these trials will not only finish accruing, but we'll get data in terms of being able to select which patients we can de-escalate surgery in the axilla and appropriate radiation therapy. So I think to summarize, at least from my standpoint, for those where we've lost the need for axillary lymph node dissection, we know that central lymph node biopsy has become the standard of care for clinically node negative patients. I think it's obviously associated with lower risk of surgical morbidity than axillary lymph node dissection, specifically lymphedema. The randomized trials for those that are central lymph node positive patients have shown, at least in medium term follow-up and now longer term follow-up, acceptable low risk of recurrence both in the axilla, but also no differences in axillary recurrence, specifically those undergoing breast conservation. But we have some patients with mastectomy. And again, those are the questions that remain to be answered, or those with mastectomy and neoadjuvant therapy. So I look forward to the discussion at the end of this. And with that, I'd like to thank you for the privilege of the podium.